You're looking for a job. You usually look in the newspaper and all that. Help wanted. Help wanted. And sometimes you read the things that appeals to you and it does not appeal to you. Waitress wanted. Waiter wanted. Bartender wanted. Truck driver wanted. Well, the sign that I want to portray to you tonight is saints wanted. God wants saints. I mean, you can be one of them. Praise the Lord. You can be one of them. If you'd ask some of these fellows like Ronnie or Sam or others, Rose, some of them, had you asked them a few years ago, just a few years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, if you had asked them, will you be singing and praising God? Will you be testifying in a Pentecostal church? Never. No way. No way. Like Richie when he was no more than 3 year old, I guess. And Mark was a baby and they were going into the church. Debbie had, Dick had already run off and left her. He didn't do that when he was courting her. But she's saddled with two babies and bottles and baggages and all that, you know. And carrying Mark and Richard going along, she had a big old purse like women carry, you know. I've always wondered why women have to carry such big purses. But they do. And I told someone the other day, they said, when are you going to build? I said, well, I'll tell you the problem. We're like the lady that went to town and bought her a purse and spent all of her money for a purse. We spent all of our money for land, so we're just waiting until we do something else. Amen. But that's part of it. But Debbie was trying to get in the door, and she said, Richie, now he is only about 2.5, 3 year old, Richie, would you carry Mama's purse for me? Help me. Can we carry Mama's purse? And Richie said, no way, Jake. No. No way. Help wanted. There's a sign more boldly declared today than ever. Saints wanted. Church members wanted. When I say church members, I'm talking about born-again church members. I'm not talking about just signing up. I'm talking about a change in people's lives. Let me quote to you again from the 8th chapter of Romans. If any man or woman, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now that's it. That's the experience. That's what God wants. Hallelujah. I'll read to you from the book of Luke, chapter 19. The conversion, it says, of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus got saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Zacchaeus was a Hebrew to begin with, and Zacchaeus had sort of gone astray. He did what some can't do. He sort of backslid, and he had got to a place that he was mistreating people. He filled a position as a publican or a tax receiver or collector, and he'd got rather greedy. I guess he was sort of like some of our internal revenue collectors. The more they collect, the more they make. Like some of our little hotshot policemen in some of the small towns especially, they're on commission. That's the reason you better be careful when you go through Grady. Or some of these other small towns, they're on commission. If they don't stop somebody, they don't get nothing. And you better believe it. When you're on commission, that's all like piecework. You're going to stop somebody. So just take it easy as you go through these little towns. It'd be a good idea to take it easy anywhere and everywhere. I mean, you get there almost the same time. Anyhow, and it's not near as dangerous, and sure, it's certainly not near as expensive. But Zacchaeus was a failing Hebrew. He was a cold Hebrew. He was a slothful Hebrew. He was a man that didn't come to church, if he is in our day, over once a week, and he might not have made it except on Easter and Christmas. He was a man that had got more occupied in his job and in making money and maybe getting some praises of men than he was in serving God. But now he was of the seed of Abraham. You can read it. He was of the seed of Abraham. And in all of his forgetting, he turned out to be a lost man. You can read that too. He was the seed of Abraham. And when the Lord looked up at Zacchaeus and said, come down, And then he said, for the seeing that you are the son of Abraham, and the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. So here is a child of Abraham after the flesh, which means that he was a Hebrew or an Israeli, and he was lost, and he needed a Savior. Now, he wasn't baptized in Jesus' name. He didn't get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And the reason is, at this point, nobody had been baptized in Jesus' name, and no one had received the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking with tongues. It's just that simple. It wasn't available. The name had not been revealed as the salvation name of God to be used in baptism. The Holy Ghost baptism speaking in tongues had not yet been given. Zacchaeus' conversion has nothing to do with your conversion, but nevertheless, the Lord, as he passed by, he had a sign, said, "Help wanted. I need somebody to forsake their way. I need someone to turn from their evil ways. I need someone to unclimb that tree," as the Cajun would say. "I need someone that'll make things right. I need someone that will repent." And brother, when we talk about repentance, we're talking about a back faith, about face, about face. We're talking about turning around. I don't believe that any sinner can repent without tears. Honest to the Lord, I just don't believe that any sinner can come to God and repent of his or her sins without being sorrowful, without crying. I mean, sometimes bawling and squalling, and I needed four or five handkerchiefs when I came to God. I want to tell you that. For my eyes and for my nose. Amen. I believe that when God really grips your heart and you see the sign, help wanted. Saints wanted. Praise God. Workers in the vineyard wanted. You're wanted. And you feel that tug at your heart. Sort of like the Lord when he went out to search for disciples. He could have put a sign up, apostles or disciples at that time who were to become apostles. He could have put a sign up, apostles wanted. He didn't have a literal sign, but he walked down by Galilee and he saw a couple of fishermen casting their net and he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I've got a job for you to do." But they had to drop their nets. They had to leave Father Zebedee. They had to follow him. They had to be willing to go with him wherever he said go and do whatever he said do. Praise God. Now in the case of Zacchaeus, when the Lord said, "Zacchaeus," he thought he was hidden among the leaves of a sycamore tree, which is somewhat like a mulberry tree. Not a long, tall, slick sycamore tree like you see in America, but a bushy, limby tree, and he climbed up in that to see and to hide. Now, Scripture doesn't say hide. It says to see, but I'm confident he didn't want to be seen. All he wanted to do was to see this man, Jesus, that they were talking about, and he was a little fellow, about like John Marvin, I suppose, and he couldn't see over Gary's head. And some of the others. And he couldn't see over some of Marcel and some of them's hairdo. And so he climbed up in a sycamore tree, which is on the order of a mulberry tree, bushy, and he got up there to see and to not be seen. I believe, folks, at that moment he didn't have any intention of having the Lord at his house for dinner. I don't think he had any idea of repenting in the manner that he did in a little while. All he wanted to do was just get a glimpse of him. Just see the Lord. Amen. And really, if I could stir you tonight to just want to understand him, just get a glimpse of him, just if I could get you to see it really as it is, I'd have no trouble of getting you to repent. You see, that's the catch right there. We can't get people to see what we're talking about. If you could see the beauty and the power and the glory of Jesus' name, you'd never fight being buried with him in baptism. If you could see the glory of being filled with the Holy Ghost, and you could feel this as bubbles up and runs over and excites you from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, if you could one time feel that, we'd have no trouble of getting you around the altar, praising God and glorifying God and receiving that which God has for you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But you see, God knows everything that's going on. He knew, Jesus knew exactly what Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, if you want to say it more fashionably. He knew when he had the first desire to see this man who had been healing the sick opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, and all kinds of stories was floating through the community as to what the Lord had done. They were arguing, debating whether or not He was the Messiah. They're still wondering about that. He was and He is. No question about it. Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He did come first in the flesh. And the next time He's coming without repentance or without, what's the word? Without. All right. He's coming without sin. He's coming to bring about. He's coming to bring about deliverance to all those that believe Him. Amen. He knew the thoughts and the heart of Zacchaeus. He knew when he just had that little desire to just see Jesus. I want to dwell on that just a little while because I hope that you have a desire to see Him. When I say see Him, I'm not talking about physically because as of now you can't see Him until He comes on the clouds of glory. And then every eye shall see Him. There was this fellow that got so spiritual in Paragould, Arkansas several years ago. He got into the different stages of spiritual communion. It don't stop with just communion and feet washing. That's the first start of that silliness. It goes on. It goes on to other things. And about the second thing that they get into, they believe that the Lord is not coming physically. Now, this is getting to be a popular teaching among many people, not only in spiritual communion groups and the Pentecostal ranks, but it's getting into the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Episcopalians. They don't really believe that He's coming physically. They think a perfected church, a perfected body, like the Jehovah Witnesses believe, and like the Russellites are, well, that's Jehovah Witnesses, or like the Moonies believe that God is love, and you are part of God, and you are part of God, and you are part of God, and you are part of God. And it's all built on just love only, and you are Him. No, we are them, and we're sons of Him. Amen. And we are members in particular of His body, but none of us are the head. He is the head of the great body, which is His church. We are lesser members, but it's true we are His members. That makes us ambassadors. That makes us sons of God in a world of sin. And we should shine because we are stars from heaven. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So all it took was just a little desire. Can we create enough desire within your heart that you'd just like to understand more about the Bible? Let me ask you, friends, you that don't know God here, are you interested enough that you spend some time reading this book? I mean, the message will mean a lot more to you if you'll take time to study your Word of God. I don't expect the average person to study like a preacher's supposed to preach and study. I mean, we all have our slot, we all have our place, but everyone should be interested, if this is God's book, we should be interested in knowing what the will of God for humanity is. I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't, without this word, trust any priest or preacher or pastor or evangelist. They can rip and snort and say all they want to, jump and run and speak with tongues and claim all kinds of gifts. I wouldn't trust any preacher, pastor, or evangelist, or priest without seeing if the Word of God backs up what he's talking about. And I encourage you, when I preach a message, I mean a doctrinal message, put the level on me. I mean, see if it's in the Word of God. Read your Bible. Don't just take my word for it. If you, I know you love me. You've proved that for 20 years almost here. I know you do. I don't question that in the least. And I don't think if people tell you the truth, anybody that's left our church would question my sincerity. They might question my ability. They might question my looks. But I don't think that anybody that's ever been in this church where they backslid or moved away or just changed to some other church, I don't think you will find anyone that will be truthful that would question my sincerity. And I want it that way. There's not a young lady or an old lady here that can put their finger in my face and accuse me of misconduct toward them. You know, I've made it that way. I've made it that way because I don't want to be accused of wrongdoing. I want to be saved. Hallelujah. But at the same time, I'm asking you to check on me. And if I'd ask you to check on me, check on these hot shots that's claiming all these gifts and soliciting for money and asking for this and asking for that. Folks, the Word of God must stand behind the ministry, or the ministry must build upon the Word of the Lord. All right. So when Jesus came by, He perceived in His heart. He had that ability, you know. He perceived when a person had faith to receive. Hallelujah. He perceived when a man had faith to want to see. Some people He passed by. Hey, did you know that blind man who was several years old, was he what, 40? 38 years old? Is that right, 38? The one that carried daily and set it to beautiful gate. Does it say? Above 40? 42 and a half, I guess. All right. Whatever he was, he had been carried there daily. Now, it seems to me like maybe most of his life that he was carried daily and laid at the gate called Beautiful, one of the main entrances into the temple. Did you know the Lord went to the temple from the time he was 8 days old and on and off all the days of his life? And even during his ministry, he went into the temple over and over again and probably passed right by that man that was begging. And the man did not perceive faith. Now, don't accuse the church every time someone doesn't get healed. It was later. It was after Pentecost. It was after the 120 had received the Holy Ghost. That the sign is already out. Saints wanted. Praise God. Candidates for healing wanted. I mean, financial blessings available. Who's going to sign up? Who wants a job? You know, if you get a job, you've got to apply. And sometimes you've got to reapply. You've got to show that you're interested. I moved to a little country church, our own home church, actually. After I'd been away for a year or so, I came back to my home church and took it to pastor back in 1947. And the finances were low, all the way from $0.25 to $3 a week. And I needed a job. And I went to a shoe factory in Pocahontas, Arkansas. And the first day I went, I stood there with my Social Security card in my hand. And I dressed up the best that I could. If you want a job, you don't want to go looking like a bum. If you come to God, you don't want to come acting like a bum either. You want to come the way God wants you to come. I'm not talking about dress now. But if you want a job, you don't apply where you're needing a haircut and needing a shave and coffee stains in the corner of your mouth and ambeer running down your chin. No, you dress up and do the best you can. And I went to that shoe factory, and I stood there until they came out and told me we're not hiring today. And I politely, nicely left them, went back home, and the next morning at 7 o'clock, I was standing right there at the same place again. Now, the secret was I wanted a job. In fact, I was like them rabbits that climbed a tree. And a little boy told his grandpa, said, I saw a rabbit climb a tree. And he said, now, son, don't lie. He said, I did. He said, rabbits can't climb trees. He said, these did, because the dogs was after him. They had to. Now, I was in the same category. Somebody had to give me a job. But I would not get the job unless I made myself available. Zacchaeus made himself available just by having a desire to see him. If you just got a desire to see him and know him, I believe that thing can be cultivated into full salvation. Amen. Second morning I was there, two or three other people was there, and they came out and said, we're not taking applications today, sorry. I thanked them, and I had my suit. I don't really remember where it was, my new one or my blue one or the one I wore last night. I'm not sure. But I didn't have much choice. But I did the best I could. And so third morning, I was right back. I think I went five mornings. It was several days in a row. Because I knew that eventually they was going to be hard. And I wanted them to see my face enough to know that I wanted a job. And about the fifth morning, they came and I was standing in the back of the crowd. That morning, there were several people there. And they said, you back there, come in here. And I got my job. Now, if I'd have got discouraged the first day or the second, third, or fourth day, I would not have had the job. And even if I had been inconsistent, if I'd have been there once on Monday and maybe 2 weeks later I'd have gone again, I still may not. I was the only one called that morning. I was the only one that went inside and took the little test and got the job. How much more must you prove yourself as a candidate? You must be willing to fill out the necessary application. Zacchaeus did. He come down from that tree when the Lord said, come down. He went right into the office, and the Lord said, here's your application. And he said, Lord, he didn't even fill it out. He just began to tell him. He said, Lord, I'll do anything it takes, in so many words. He said, if I've wronged anybody, and the rascal had, he said, I'll return it fourfold. I mean, I'll pay back every dime I've taken that I shouldn't have taken, and I'll give it back fourfold. That means four for one. Amen. I don't know whether he did that or not, but that's what he said he would do. And the Lord said, this day salvation has come to your house. Now, I believe that there's a little application for you to fill out if you want to be a saint. Now, you know, I'm not going to pass out any paper for you to fill out, but I just want you to look in your own. Do you really want to see him? Do you want to see him enough that you'll do something about it? Climb a sycamore tree if necessary. I mean, wade to church if you have to. Fight against colds and diseases and fever and bad feelings and draggy feelings. And some of our people are here tonight that don't feel like being here because of family problems and because of financial problems and because of pressure. Pressure is on in this world like it never has been before, but you waded through the pressure, and you waded through the problems, and you come on anyhow. Praise God. You came to the house of God anyhow, and you want your blessing, and I want to tell you something. It's for you. You can have it. Hallelujah. God wants to give it to you. I mean, he's looking right up in your tree tonight, and he's saying, Zacchaeus, come down. Because salvation has come to your house. I'm going home with you today. Hallelujah. Now, I know what I said when I fell on my knees. I said, God, I want you. I want to be saved. I meant it. I said, Lord, I'll go all the way with you. I hired into another place in St. Louis, and they said, now, Marvin, we're going to hire you, but we want you to stay with us. It takes a year to train a salesman. You'll be a liability to us. And you won't make us any money for a solid year. So we hope that we're not hiring you for a year. Well, they didn't. I stayed a year and 3 months. But I can't make a promise in this world that I'll always be on a job. I can't make that kind of a promise. As far as I knew at the time, I'd stay with them. But circumstances changed. But when God calls you, you must be willing to say what I said. And I imagine 75 more of you said, Lord, I'll go all the way with you. The same promise that you make when you stand before this altar with a bride, your bride, or the groom, your husband-to-be. And you promise it. And I found out that a lot of people don't pay any attention to what they're promising. I went for years, and I could say I don't know of a soul that I've ever performed a ceremony that's divorced. I mean, years. I've been performing ceremonies, wedding ceremonies, for 40 years, maybe 39 years. And I went for half that time, 20 years, that I could boast, if you call it that, and say, I don't know of a one that I've married that have divorced. I can't say that now. I can't. I'm right on schedule with the ratio of this world. About half of them go back on their promises. I mean, they stand here and they say, until death do us part. Now, else we're going to have to get people to mean it when they say it, or we're going to have to leave that out of the ceremony. For better or for worse. Did you know that's saying a mouthful? But to say it, I'm going to bear down on this just a little bit. But that's the wedding. That's the marriage. But I'm telling you, when you come to God, you better make the promise, because you're not going to move one inch with God unless from the depths of your heart you say, Lord, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Come peril, come sword, come famine, come enemy, whatever it may be. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Neither war, sword that is, or peril, or famine, or things above, or things beneath, or things present, or things to come. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And Lord, it's easy for me to say, I'll go with you all the way. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. Hallelujah. Reach out for God. Will you reach out for God? Hallelujah. When you say, I'll go all the way, it may mean that you are turning your back upon family tradition. You may have to denounce the faith that you were raised to believe in. If you were raised to believe in three gods, you're going to have to make a confession. Lord, you're not only my Savior, you're the great I Am. You're the first and you're the last. You're the Alpha and you're the Omega. You're the Father and you are the Son. And you are the Holy Ghost. Tell him about it. He likes to know that you know who he is. He likes to know that you looked up in a sycamore tree and you got a glimpse of him and you know who he is. And you're willing to slide down. You're willing to drop down and say, Lord, go with home with me today. Hallelujah. So when you do that, you don't have to refer to religious organizations, but you can tell the Lord, Lord, I know you're my Savior. I know you're my mighty God. I know you're the everlasting Father. I know you're the Prince of Peace. That's music in the ears of Almighty God. You start recognizing Him for what He is, and He's going to bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints want it. Amen. Make the right start. Saints want it. Fill out your application. Lord, I want you. I want you more than anything else in this world. Again, you're making a big commitment. I want you more than pleasure. Let me repeat again. Say, what's wrong with pleasure? Here's just an easy way to determine. If you can't pray and ask God's blessing on the pleasure that you love most, or you're going to participate in, if you can't conscientiously ask God to bless this particular thing, you better avoid it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you go fishing, there'd be nothing wrong on asking God to bless you in your fishing trip. Jesus Himself fished. If you go hunting, ask God to bless you on this effort. Now, don't neglect your church to go hunting. That's got to be. Don't neglect your family to go hunting. I mean, you fellows don't spend $200 or $300 on a gun and let your wife wear tennis shoes.
And borrow them.
Huh? Are you what you say? Man, I like to hear that. That's like saying, sick them, get them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Don't become one-sided. God first. I mean, you spend it all on a gun, there's no dividends coming back. You say, yeah, but I got to kill some meat. You never will pay for those hunting trips. The last I figured up on my bath, I think they cost me about $98.27 a pound. There's no money in that. I asked Brother Mickey one time about paying his tithes on them turkeys he killed, and he said, well, now, I don't think there's any increase there. Yeah, I imagine he's right. Shells, guns, gasolines, license, traveling all here, all mine. No, there's no profit there. All I'm saying is, folks, don't let anything take the place in your life that God is supposed to have. He's supposed to be first. Just like the bride and her husband. She takes him. She promises to forsake all others, cleaving only unto him. Sometimes they forget. Sometimes he forgets. Sometimes she forgets. But it's wrong. I mean, the world has its way, but I'm preaching to the church tonight. I'm telling you folks, we got in this thing to go all the way. Amen. Oh, when things go wrong, we're going to walk away. When somebody else backslides, we're going to quit. If your wife leaves you, you're going to backslide. If your husband cheats, you're going to backslide. Be careful when you say it, but I mean, that's where a lot of people are falling by the wayside. If the children get disgusted and quit and want to go to the world and get upset because the preacher preaches that you must live right, is that going to discourage you and you're going to take up for the kids and quit the church? No! And especially don't turn your back upon God, because we were a lost people, and Jesus came to seek and to save, just as He told Zacchaeus, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're lost tonight, the Lord wants you to come down out of your sycamore tree. He wants to go home with you. He wants to hear your repentance. He wants to hear your commitments. He wants you to say, I'll go with you all the way, even till the end. He's promised to stay with us till the end of the world. Why can't we promise to stay with Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before receiving the Holy Ghost, it was Peter who said, Lord, though all others forsake you, not me, I'll stay with you always. I'll go to jail, I'll go to prison, I'll do this, I'll do that. And the Lord said, I pray for you, but before the cock crows, thrice you shall deny me. Before the crowing of the rooster, you're going to deny me three times. And he did that. He didn't have strength. But I'm preaching to you tonight a gospel of strength. God will give you power to fulfill your commitments. He will enable you to fulfill your pledge. Hallelujah. Most times when people make pledges, monetary pledges, and they do it by faith to build a church or whatever, and they make a pledge and they do it by faith, somehow God supplies their need and they're able to make that pledge, and usually with some left over. We're not asking you to make a money pledge, but I'm telling you that if you will pledge yourself to go all the way with God, God's looking for someone just like you to be a saint. He wants to receive your application tonight. He wants to hear your repentance. He wants to hear the water splash when you're baptized in Jesus' name. Angels are listening to hear you speak with tongues as God funnels into your life the glorious power of the Holy Ghost. And the church begins to shout, and heaven begins to shout, because a sinner has come to God and been filled with His glory. While we stand, we'd like to see this altar filled with souls seeking God tonight. Who wants to come and give your heart to God? Come right on.
Take my hand, precious heart. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired.
I am weak. I'm worn. But through the storm, through the night,
lead me on to the light.
Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on. Oh, precious Lord, take my hand.
Anybody feel like seeking God tonight? Would you come and seek Him with all your heart? Would you come repenting? Would you come opening up your life to the glorious power of the Holy Ghost? Would you come saying, I need victory? I need victory in my soul.
Precious Lord, lead me on.
Now I know good and well. I know good and well that some of you need to be in this altar. Some maybe to repent, some to receive the Holy Ghost, and some of you just need absolute victory in your soul. I mean, you're too bound up. The reflection of our services sometimes reflects that we have some that are bound by pressure, bound. God don't want us bound. I mean, He wants you to be free. Glory. I mean, God's in the business of setting people free. If you're bound by habit of nicotine, God wants to set you free. If you're bound with a disease, it's God's desire to set you free. You say, well, why don't He do it? He wants you to call on His name. He wants you to make application. He wants you to receive. Glory, 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 glory. He wants you to have the Holy Ghost. But you've got to make application. You've got to praise Him. You've got to love Him. You've got to receive Him in your heart and life. He wants you to have the victory. He don't want you to go home tonight all bound down and can't can't shout and can't praise God and can't have prayer and can't praise God. No, 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 no. He don't want you. He wants you to have liberty. He wants you to have praises. He wants you to get up in the morning and see the sunshine and praise God for another day. He wants you walking on the clouds. He wants you clapping your hands. He wants you singing a little song. God wants you to be happy. Come on, come on, if you need help tonight. I don't care what your religious status is. If you need liberty, if you need a blessing, I want you to come and seek Him tonight. Come around the altar. Amen, amen, amen.
Let's sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice.
Get a hold of God, everybody.
Oh, I want to see
that's
Him.
That's
look upon His face. Let us sing forever of His saving
grace. Come on, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord.
Glory.
Oh, Jesus.
Kill the pit. Oh, hallelujah.
Let's love him just a little while. Will you love him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Bernard, on the word El in the Old Testament, Jehovah, you know, like the choir sings, God is, no, let's see, what is that? Jehovah Jireh, which is Jehovah Provider. So Jireh is Provider. And then you've got the El Shaddai, that's Jehovah, and whatever the Shaddai part means. Continue, that sustaineth thee. That's just like in our language saying Jesus the Christ, Jesus the mighty God, Jesus the everlasting Father, Jesus the healer, Jesus the Savior. He's everything. He's everything. He's everything. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I would like to see enough unity in this section. We have too much division in our churches. I mean, in our churches, my church, other churches. We need a blending together of hearts and minds. We need one mind and one accord. And I tell you, I'm hungry for fellowship like we have never had it. Loving one another, respecting one another, not trying to mold everybody in our own butter mold, but respecting everybody in their own calling and own place. And I'm telling you the truth, my doors would be open for a 6-day revival using the pastor of every church in our city.
Well, there, well, you have to go to the right there.
Right? Hallelujah.
You can't go clear back out.
Somebody got some power. That's illegal. You tell them if I see them. I'd like to see a church. I wish I knew that the brethren would cooperate with me, and I'd like to start something. And I'd like to have, like, Brother Hill on a Monday night, and Brother Huckabee on a Tuesday night, and Brother Talbert on a Wednesday night or some night, and what's the other churches? Brother Harmon on a night, and Brother Huckabee, didn't I? All right. About 6 churches, including Faith, that's in the area. I'd like to see that. You know, if it didn't bring soul salvation revival in that week, maybe it would let everybody know and let our people know that these ministers are one. I'm afraid we haven't been one. But I'd like you to know that all these men are my friends. I don't always like the way they do things, and they don't like the way I do things. But that's just individuality. That's not enough to be enemies over. Amen. That's right. And I don't have nothing in for nobody. I'm ready for revival. Whatever's cleaning up it takes to bring a revival, I'm ready to do it. I mean, whatever we have to do to get connections around here, we ought to be one. We ought to be able to go down here to Convention Center and rent that and get Gamblin or somebody that can shell the corn down and preach and have that thing packed out. See, we've got 600 or 700 people in these churches around here in our Sunday school. We could go down there, plus the visitors that we could get, and have a crusade. We could, but first we've got to get ourselves together. I mean, it's like Wednesday night. We could have 150 here on Wednesday night, but we hadn't got it all together. Amen. I'm not saying it's compulsory to be in church every Wednesday night and every Saturday night, but you know, sometimes church is just not of such that you really want to go. And I'm saying that we ought to make this thing good enough that everybody has to. I just got to go. Bless God, there might be something going on tonight that I might miss. Well, I've said enough on that tonight, but I'm not announcing that revival, but I'm praying about it that this can come to pass. I want it heard from this pulpit. I don't have it in for any preacher in our section. There's not a one in this section I couldn't shake their hand and hug their neck and say, "Brother, I love you and mean it."
Praise God.
I'll spread it out. There's not a one in the district. I'll leave the organization. There's not... I go to Stuttgart. I could hug Buddy Looper's neck and say, "Brother Buddy, I respect you and I love you." and go to Star City, and I can find Brother Yarberry, and I can say, Brother, I love you, and I appreciate
you. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, I'm just not going to have my heart filled with animosity and hatred and division. And I want all of you to know something right now. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. I love you, and I appreciate you. Let's join together and go to heaven, okay? Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I'll say one last thing, and I'm hoping that these things will bring us to a place of revival. If some of those who have fallen by the wayside, any one of them, or any or all of them, would come through those doors right now, I don't care how dirty they've treated me or you or what's happened, if they'd come through those doors in the right attitude, I've come here to line up, I've come here to seek God, I've come here to find God, I'd want to be the first one to them, throw my arms around them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know, folks, if you fail God, there's just one thing to do. Come back to God. Come back to God. Let's love Him together one more time, will you? We appreciate you, Lord, and we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your love and for your mercy. And we ask your blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.